My, my, my. Not that this place 15 minutes ago was a boring and dull place, but right now this place is a different place. This room is a different room. As a matter of fact, we sing the song, "When you walk in the room, there's nothing like it." Jesus walked in this place. He's in this place. He spoke to us here. Just bask in this moment. Don't take this for granted. Not everybody experiences this. We truly are a privileged people. And I just want to be thankful. Oh God. There's a theme. Jesus is doing awesome things. And we're only a few days into this new year. I'm looking forward to what 2015 is going to bring, what we're going to see done at the hands of the Almighty God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you would turn your Bibles tonight to the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew. I give honor to my pastor and his wife. If you want to be thankful for something in your life, it's not your boss, it's not your place of employment. The first thing you should be happy for, of course, is Jesus. And the next thing you should be happy for is that the Lord has given us a man and a lady of God that truly do watch for our souls. That is an awesome, awesome thing to have. Thank you, Lord. Matthew, the 12th chapter, starting at verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye bring evil, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Words are an important thing. And if we're going to be held accountable for just words, how much do you think God can do with his word as that goes forth from our mouth? And then if you'll go to Luke, the 6th chapter. Luke 6, beginning at verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. And there is that portion of scripture again, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So can I tell you, can I just make the assumption according to this verse or portion of scripture that what's in our heart is going to flow out of our mouth? And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. And tonight I'm going to hone in on something that this scripture talks about. It says, he is like a man which build a house and dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. It's important to build on something that's sure. And this church has built on the truth of the Word of God. Amen? Amen. And I'm thankful for that, because verse 49 goes on to talk about the one who built on the sand, and that's not a wise thing. And I'm just thankful tonight that we've built upon the rock. Amen. Pastor Schumacher, would you pray? Amen. Before you're seated, I would like you to look at your neighbor and say, we are vessels of the King. Amen. Can you clap your hands to the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's an importance to being obedient to what the Word of God says. And being obedient to that Word allows for us to build on a sure foundation. And then there is something that is put together and built that, well, can't just be shaken with any storm. Can't be destroyed or isn't going to wash out if we truly are built on the rock, on a sure foundation. If your heart is truly abundantly filled with the things of God, the mouth will speak it. John 7, 37 through 38, in a very familiar portion of Scripture, in that last day, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Amen. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, how? As the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. When God puts something in, it's designed to flow through. Not just stay there and be stagnant, but when God fills, it's supposed to flow out to others. It's a refreshing, if you will. As the scripture hath said is something that's very important. Everybody has their own ideas and concepts, and we know that from talking to people of other persuasions. They don't think this is important. They don't think that is important. Hey, it's all important. The whole book. And it all applies to us from the Old Testament to the New. 2 Corinthians 3 and 6 says this, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. So don't listen to that voice that tells you you can't. Because right here, the Word of God says, he has made us able ministers. Meaning that through him and his strength, we are able to accomplish that in which he intends for us to accomplish. He hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. We look to the Old Testament and we oftentimes think of the letter, the letter, the letter. But really, the scriptures tell us it was our schoolmaster that brought us to Christ. It taught us something. And the word that God gave to his people in Old Testament times was something that he gave them for their well-being, but he demanded obedience. I wonder if that still rings true today. It's for our better. And as we obey it and apply it to our lives, well, row after row, heart after heart, there's testimony after testimony of what God has done in our lives because of our obedience to his word and what it ushered in. But really, the Old Testament laid a foundation from the very beginning for you and I. Way back in the book of Genesis, when God said, and we heard this, I believe, on New Year's Eve, God through Abraham said all families of the earth would be blessed through him. So he's talking about us way back in the book of Genesis, and thus the foundation is starting to be laid. For the year 2015, for you and for I. And we know that we see that promise fulfilled later on in the book of Galatians, the 3rd chapter, when it says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Amen? And it goes on to say, "And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." What promise? The foundation that was laid back in the book of Genesis. But yet it becomes fulfilled in our lives in the New Testament. Amen? So don't tell me, don't let anybody tell you that those books don't pertain to us. Yes, they do. Amen. So the Spirit, or the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now watch. In Acts 2 and 38, when they were pricked in their heart, when the man of God taught them the word of God, when the question went forth, what must we do? The anointed word of God went forth, and he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. There's the letter, or the word of God, the plan of God, which showed you and I some of the things we needed to kill and be obedient to in our lives. And then ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The letter kills and the Spirit gives life. The letter shows us the things that we need to put away in our lives. But the awesome thing is that as New Testament believers in God, he has given us the Spirit, which gives us the strength and ability to be able to do that. In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle plan, the presence of God was there in that tent in the wilderness. Well, now you and I are the tent in this wilderness, but now he dwells inside of us. But he was showing us in that plan that one day, that fire that we talked about tonight that used to rest on that tabernacle was going to be inside you and I. Amen. Now, over and over, page after page in Old Testament scripture, we see types and shadows of the church and its power and purpose. If you would with me tonight, go to 2 Chronicles, the 3rd chapter, and if I could have those scriptures on the screen, I would so appreciate that. I want for you people to see this, to see the church, to see a type and shadow of the plan that was coming down the road, and the people that were a part of the offices they were in the priesthood back then had no idea that the things they were doing
were for our instruction and our admonition as well in the year 2015. So, 2 Chronicles, the 3rd chapter. Starting at verse 3. Actually, let me read verse 1. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And he began to build in the 2nd day of the month in the 4th year of his reign. Now these are the things which Solomon was instructed for the building of the house of God. The length by cubits after the first measure was 80 cubits and the breadth 20 cubits. Could I just say this? Notice that God put something in the heart of David that needed to be passed down to the next generation. I want to build something. And then David passed the plans, obviously, to Solomon. And then Solomon started to build the temple. And notice, the building of the house of God, the length by cubits after the first measure was 80 cubits and the breadth 20 cubits. Instructions for perimeters or boundaries. I want you to build something for me, says the Almighty God, but there's going to be perimeters and boundaries. But don't worry, it's going to be okay. If you build it according to the plan, things will be well with you. As a matter of fact, out of your bellies shall flow. See, there's going to be something. So there would be perimeters and boundaries. Jump to verses 11 and 12. And the wings of the cherubims were 20 cubits long. One wing of one cherubim was 5 cubits, reaching to the wall of the house. And the other wing was likewise 5 cubits, reaching to the wing of the other cherub. And one wing of the cherub was 5 cubits, reaching to the wall of the house. And the other wing was 5 cubits also, joining to the wing of the other cherub. The wings of these cherubs spread themselves forth 20 cubits, and they stood on their feet, and their faces were inward. And he made the veil of blue and purple and crimson and fine linen thereon, and wrought cherubims thereon. There were cherubs that touched one another, and then the wings touched the walls. Could I show you tonight that he shall give his angels charge over us? And God was showing us already in that plan in the Old Testament that he was going to allow for angels to come into his house. And then there was blue and purple and scarlet. They were going to go there by the order of God. How many times have we heard testimonies in this place about how God has allowed for somebody to see angels in here? It was ordained from the very beginning. The foundation was laid. The house of God and the priesthood of God and the things of God were going to be alive in God. And he was going to give the order and dispatch, because there was purple and blue and crimson and scarlet by divine order. And Pastor Schumacher read the scripture tonight in Psalms, the 91st chapter, the secret place of the Most High. And it goes on to say how he gives his angels charge over us. You see, they were going to be in the house at the direction of the Almighty God. The angels' powers from heaven to the church were reaching. They touched one another. That means to touch or to hold or to lie with a woman. There was going to be a relationship between the church and heaven. And the powers of heaven were going to be unleashed to the church to allow for the world to see, hey, this thing's alive. Verse 17, and he reared up pillars before the temple, one on the right hand and the other on the left hand, and called the name of that on the right hand, Jachin, and the name of that on the left, Boaz. What it represents, the pillars, for example, these two pillars are working together to hold this up. Working in unity. The church would work in unity to hold up the things of God in a place of darkness that didn't want to hear about the things of God. But working in unity. The one on the left was named Boaz, and the one on the right, Jachin. Jachin means he will establish. Boaz means fleetness. Fast and nimble in movement, a man of advancing years, but still fleet in feet. So we work together in one accord, in unity. He puts a new spring in our step. We don't walk the way we used to walk. Fleetness meaning the church with the power of heaven, he established. Jachin means he will establish. The pillars meant something. He will establish a fleetness of feet. And this thing isn't just going to stay idle in one spot, but the church would take forth the message. And it didn't matter their age, young or old. God gives us all the power and the ability, as I read earlier, that he has made us able ministers. He put a new spring in our step when he put the Spirit of God within us. He established for the church so they should take the message forth. Ephesians 6 and 15, shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that fleetness is a suddenness, or a, how about, and suddenly there came from heaven the sound as of a rushing mighty wind. Do you realize that sometimes when you or I walk into a room or into somebody's life and a situation in their life, that we are a breath of fresh air that the Lord is sending into that situation? The church of God. Alive and well. And then go to the fourth chapter of the book of Chronicles. Here he is addressing the furnishings and the vessels of the church. So, can you see a type and a shadow in that third chapter of the church of the year 2015? Alive, the power of heaven unleashed. It's been established by God. He's put a new step in us, a fleetness of feet. We do things differently. We walk differently. There's boundaries, but there's protection in those boundaries. Chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Also he made a molten sea of 10 cubits from brim to brim, round in compass, and 5 cubits the height thereof, and the line of 30 cubits did compass it round about. And under it was a similitude of oxen, which did compass it round about 10 and a cubit, compassing the sea round about. 2 rows of oxen were cast when it was cast. It stood upon 12 oxen, 3 looking toward the north, 3 looking toward the west, 3 looking toward the south, and 3 looking toward the east. And the sea was set above it upon them, and all their hinder parts were within. The oxen is symbolic of bearing burdens, of plowing, on the move, a servanthood, if you will. Their hinder parts or their strength were together, in the house, together. Their strength was for the things of God, the house of God, the ministering of God, the things of God, a relationship with God. And notice they were looking in all directions. What can I do? Who can I touch? Who can I bring? Looking in all directions, north, south, east, and west. Their priority was to the house of God. Their faithfulness, the strength of them was set. It was there. It wasn't moving. It was a loyalty to the house. And the thickness of it, verse 5, was a handbreadth and a brim of it, like the work of a brim of a cup with flowers and lilies. And it received and held 3,000 baths. Oh, come on. Is that a coincidence? A place where the priests would wash represented the royal priesthood, but sounds to me like the Acts 2 and 38 revival, where that all those, as many as believed on the word of God that day and were obedient unto it, there was added unto the church 3,000 souls. Do you think it was a coincidence that that laver held 3,000 baths? And the priesthood was a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. And notice the lilies. The lilies is from bright, cheerful mirth or joy. Sounds like the Holy Ghost to me. Then it also means an ornament or a straight trumpet or a clear sound. So it was the clear sound and direction of God and the obedience to it that would then allow for the Spirit of God to move into our lives and the infilling of the Holy Spirit as we went down into the waters of baptism. And I know that the Word of God says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. There's going to be a trumpet that's going to sound one day. It's all in there. It's a type and a shadow of what was going to go on and what the priesthood was going to be involved in. But their focus, like the oxen, if I can go back there, to that needed to be north, south, east, and west. Who do you want me to go to, Jesus? Who can I bring to this place, Jesus? There's room for them to be bathed in your house, Jesus. There's room for joy and mirth and goodness to flow into them like it did to me, Jesus. And then if you'd go to 11, the 11th verse, it says, and Huram made the pots and the shovels and the basins. We're talking about furnishings. Huram furnished the work that he was to make for King Solomon for the house of God. Hey, the king gave the orders. This is what I would like for the house of God. This is what I would like for you to put together for my house. To wit, the two pillars and the pommels and the chapters which were on the top of the two pillars and the two wreaths to cover the two pommels of the chapters which were on the top of the pillars, and 400 pomegranates. We just heard about those a couple weeks ago. On the two wreaths, two rows of pomegranates on each wreath to cover the two pommels of the chapiters, heads of the pillars those are, which were upon the pillars. He made also bases and lavers made he upon the bases. One sea and 12 oxen under it, the pots also and the shovels and the flesh hooks and all their instruments did Hiram his father make to King Solomon for the house of the Lord of bright brass. In the plain of Jordan did he cast them. Look at this. In the clay ground between Succoth and Zeretha. Thus Solomon made all these vessels in great abundance. Notice, Solomon made all these vessels in great abundance. Could I just show you, though, Solomon himself didn't make them. He gave the instruction to have them made. And Jesus is doing the same. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is still doing the same in your time and in my time. The King has given the instructions, and this is what I would like for you to make for my house. Thus Solomon made all these vessels in great abundance, for the weight of brass could not be found out. Thus the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords wants to make in great abundance all these vessels. Listen, the number of it can never be found out. You and I can't set a number to it. We can't predict how many. That's up to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and however long he tarries. But he has given you and I a mandate. The King has said, this is what I want for my house. This is what I want for my house. That word vessels means something prepared as an instrument or apparatus of implement of war, music, a tool of labor, oxen, or paper. Look, I would say that covers just about everything that we already do right here in this house. I'm wondering if the paper could be teaching and the Word of God. There's music, there's labor, there's oxen, looking out for someone who could be brought to the paper, if you will. But vessels, they were cast in the plain of Jordan. That word comes from a word meaning to dance or whirl around. Sounds like a lot of joy and mirth and you know what? Where the building's going to take place? Hey, in that place where all these things that he explains in his word, we're going to flow through. Are you seeing it? The gore or valley of the Jordan. You know, the Jordan is known as the descender. We know the descender and the ascender. And really, he is the one who allows for the water to flow into this place. He is the one who refreshed your soul and my soul. The Jordan also, it is a round loaf or a talent or a large round coin. You know what? There is value to this lifestyle. There is value to the things of God and the life of a child of God, a vessel of the King. And do you know that when people come in here and they see the dancing and the joy and all the things that go on, there's value all of a sudden to them. And they know as they are here for a while, they see that things come into our lives. But yet, like Brother Moran said tonight, like it was said, listen, I don't know if you're going through something or not, but if you are, I know the best thing to do. How many times have we heard that in here is to worship God, lift your hand, and there's value in that. And they see that and say, listen, if these people can worship and do those things for the Lord, even though they're going through that, there's got to be something that I'm not understanding, and I need the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You just happen to be in the right place. It was in the plain of Jordan, in the clay ground, that the king cast them. Between Succoth and Zaretha. Here's what I want you to get a picture of tonight. So these vessels were cast in the clay ground. And that word ground, if you will trust me, if I have built your trust over the years, but you can study it, means red ground or red earth. It was a red color. And so what they did was they dug in the ground in the clay and they casted the vessels and the tools and the furnishings right there in that ground. God spoke to me this morning in the song service and he told me to talk to the watchman on the wall about this place. And when this place was built, was it in 94? Did you say 1994? And from what I understand, there's a lot of clay right here. And in 1994, I believe that God gave the order that we're gonna dig into that clay. And we're going to put together a house or a vessel that I'm going to make myself known in where there would be fire. It would be a place that would bring glory to his name. And there would be a royal priesthood that would put together the things of God that I have proclaimed in my word. From Succoth to Zaretha. That word Succoth means it was the nation's first stop after leaving Egypt. And the word, the city, the place, Zaretha means to pierce or to puncture. So, from leaving Egypt to a place of piercing or puncturing, we sing the song, the cross before me, the world behind. No turning back. And that's exactly what God has allowed for this place to be put here and risen up for, so that now there's a house of God where people come out of Egypt, their first stop after stepping out of sin, and they follow the word of God. They repent of their sins. They're washed in the blood and in the waters of baptism. They see the redemptive power. They see the need for Calvary or the place of puncturing or piercing. You see, where they cast those vessels in that clay, when they took those vessels out, because of the red earth, there was a color on them, vessels of red. Just like you and I, when we come up out of the waters of baptism, all of a sudden, now we have the blood of Jesus on us. And that's where the Lord in this place has dug down and made castings for vessels that would be used in his house to do things for his goodness, for his pleasure. What did God speak to us tonight that he desires that he could be with us forever? And he will be one day. He is already, but he'll be with us in a different realm. But oh my, my. Don't you realize that for each and every face in this place, God allowed for this place to be put here. And there was some work. There was a lot of earth that needed to be moved and a lot of digging and a lot of work by the pastor and his wife and dump trucks and excavating equipment, all to prepare a place according to the word of God and the order of God so that it could be done just like the king commanded. And if you look out on the corner, it's founded on the truth of God. And so every one of you in a place where you were brought to the truth of God, when you left Egypt and saw the need for the redemptive power of the cross in your lives, the blood of Jesus, the hole was dug. The casting was started. And then you went into the waters of baptism and they took you out. And you had the red on you from the blood of Jesus. And now, remember the scripture of the brass. You don't know how much, or he made multitudes. He continued, the number can't be counted. And now he's working with you and polishing you and shining you. But just like in the Old Testament, when God asked Cain, who slew Abel, what have you done with your brother? What did he say? That is, innocent blood cries from the ground. Don't you think that Jesus don't know what you're going through? Because his innocent blood has been applied to you. And when you're in the middle of persecution and trial, that blood's crying to your daddy. He knows where you're at and what you're going through. He'll take good care of you. You just remember to continue to do things according to the instruction of God, the way he designed it. And he'll protect you. Verse 18 of that scripture. Thus Solomon made all these vessels in great abundance. I want you to remember great abundance. Great abundance. Great abundance. Because the Lord has asked us already this year to take this truth to them because he wants for there to be a greater abundance of vessels in this place. And he's waiting for you and I to go do what he has asked us to do so that another casting can be dug down and another vessel for the kingdom poured to be able to shine forth his brightness. First Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Do you see it? The water and the Spirit. Because verse 2 says, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And the rock that followed them back there in the Old Testament times is now the one that has taken up residency inside you and I. If you don't think that's true, try to tell this young man who God just poured his Spirit out that it's not true. I dare to say he would tell you differently. Amen? And each and every one of us, when we experienced the cloud or the infilling of the Spirit of God because we obeyed the Word of God, we too were just as excited as this young man and were calling people and telling people about what was happening. So, and here we're going back to the middle. So what happened? From the time that we stepped out of the world and saw the redemptive power of Calvary. There's that time in between where he has allowed for this vessel to be cast to proclaim the goodness of God. And it's time to shine the vessel. It's time to speak the words. It's time to allow for the things of God to build up inside us abundantly so that the mouth will speak of the good things of God. If the musicians would come, Pastor Schumacher quoted this scripture this morning, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Attention, this is the King of Kings talking. I would like for you to cast a hole in that area there so that we can pour another vessel, so that we can make something new for the house of God, for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Did we hear that this morning? I didn't add this. This was there. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Brother Art, would you come stand here? I want to leave you with a picture. I want you to remember this tonight. This isn't a gift that we received from just any old person or a relative or an in-law or a... This is something that has been given to you and I from the one who spoke the worlds into existence. And he has given unto you and to I. He has committed unto us. That word committed means that he has not only ordained, he sold out to us. He has ordained us and mandated us and sent us. He has committed unto us the word, the holy sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Scriptures He has committed to you and I. That word committed also can mean that He submitted or bowed down with His head in a lowly position. And I want you to see that the Lord, your God, and my God has allowed for us to see from page to page in Old Testament scriptures and in New Testament scriptures that He has given something to us that not only has given us the life that we have now in Him, but for the very power and the ability to give that same life to somebody else. And He has committed unto you and I the word of reconciliation. Here's what Jesus has done. Laid His scriptures at our feet. And He's asked us, take it forth. Pass it on. Allow for it to come alive. In somebody else's life. I've placed it right there. Don't just step over it and ignore it. But pick it up. Keep it close to your heart. But put it into the heart of somebody. You stand with me
Glory to God. Brother Bear called me this afternoon. He wanted to know a little bit about how we built this church. And I went back in memory, and I remember that summer of 94, every day, either being in a dump truck or a sheep's foot, we had to raise the level of this area by 12 foot, and in order to get that material, we had to dig a pond that was 35 foot deep. And almost daily, there was a building inspector that came to find out how we were doing. When we were about to put the asphalt down, they said, well, it'll never be stable enough because it's clay. And I remember every day, this huge sheep's foot going back and forth, in order to compact it. You know, this is the third addition that we put on this church, and you would think that it would get easier, but it doesn't. It becomes harder sometimes. What addition are you in right now in your own life? You know, the problem with Christianity today is there's no building inspectors anymore. Everybody builds the way they want. Nobody says, well, I'm sorry, you're not going according to the plan. I don't want to prolong this. Brother Bear did a wonderful job, but I just want to read a couple of scriptures. Ephesians 4 and 11 says, and He, God, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, but that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. So we have to be fit together according to the plan of God. He gives us the permit. Okay, start building. But it's got to be according to my plan, my book. And I'm going to be inspecting. And I'll tell you what, if you're building not according to my plan, I'm going to tear it down and you're going to start all over again. But when you're building right, when you know it's about this word, well, then there can be expansions, you see. And everyone supplieth, everyone. You may think you're not a part, but you supply. You supply. And you're a part. We're not all bricks. We're lively stones fit together. None of us look exactly the same as somebody else. And thank God, because there's so much more beauty to stone than there is to brick. Amen. But it takes a little more work to put us together. Hallelujah. Amen. This is outstanding. This is really great. I appreciate the word of God and the types and shadows that God has hidden there for us. Amen. Glory to God. The altar's open. Would you come?